Well, good morning. I don't know about all of you, but I could have sat in that worship for just hours and hours today. It is so good to be back, to be with you as a team. In case you haven't noticed, this is a bit of a Brazil team takeover this morning, so you've seen different people up here than you normally might, and we tried our best to make sure that everybody was involved in the service in some way. So I'm so thankful for their team and their willingness to step in and be part of today. We wanted to start off this morning by thanking you again for your support and encouragement that you as a church have been to the Brazil team, and for the support that you have given to the broader idea of us as a church pursuing a sister church partnership. As we continue processing the trip and talking through possible next steps, we wanted to take time this morning to highlight some of the stories and connections that were made over the course of our 8 days in Brazil, so that you could have a broader understanding of what we did while we were there. We also hope that this morning encourages and strengthens you in your faith. I also want to greet our new and old friends that we spent time with while we were in Brazil. I know that some of you may be watching us this morning, either live or sometime later today, so we wanted to say hello. And thank you again so much for your generous hospitality and kindness during our time with you. I also wanted to thank Nina this morning. As you've heard, she's not here with us, but she helped prepare Portuguese flashcards for us, gave us some cultural background, and so it was such a gift to have her as part of our trip planning as well. So thank you to Nina, too. Now, when we look at the story of the early church in the book of Acts, and within many of the New Testament letters, one of the things we see is that there was a network of people and churches. The stories that we read in the book of Acts would have taken place over approximately 30 years, given or take a few years, from the day of Pentecost to Paul's time arriving in Rome. And within the book of Acts, we read about Paul's missionary journeys, and it is estimated that Paul covered the distance of approximately more than 13,000 air miles as he traveled by land and sea to spread the gospel over much of the Roman Empire. Within these journeys, we see a pattern of sending and receiving, of Paul journeying with others, of prayer and teaching, and encouragement of the local body of believers. This is further seen through a number of the New Testament letters that were written while Paul was on these journeys, such as the book of James, Galatians, and the letters to the church communities in Thessalonians, Corinthians, and the Roman church networks. The stories that we read about the early church are not a church in one place, but it is a story of many people and church communities scattered throughout a wide region. And this is the setting for the two themes that we want to look at today that connect our experience in Brazil and our broader view of why church partnership is so valuable. The first theme looks at how Paul and others spent time encouraging, strengthening, and praying with the churches that they encountered along the way. The second theme that we'll look at is the connections made and the networking hubs of the early church. As we look at the first theme, we can see it in a number of spots throughout the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 14, verses 21 to 22, we read that after preaching the good news in Derbe and making many disciples, Paul and Barnabas returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch of Syria, where they strengthened the believers, and they encouraged them to continue in the faith. In Acts 15, verse 36, Paul says to Barnabas that they should go back to where they had previously preached the good news to see how the people were doing. And after Barnabas and John Mark head out in one direction and Paul and Silas in another, it says that Paul traveled throughout Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches there. In Acts 16, verse 5, we see that the churches were strengthened in their faith and grew larger every day. Acts 16, 40 says they met with believers and encouraged them once more. In Acts 18:23, we see that after spending some time in Antioch, Paul went back through Galatia and Phrygia, visiting and strengthening all the believers. So as Paul and his very travel companions travel throughout the region to share the good news and invite people to follow the way of Jesus, the believers and the churches are strengthened and encouraged. This then equips those groups of believers to live out their faith in the communities where they lived and worked. One of our hopes as a team and as a church is that our travels and partnerships would have a similar impact. Both while we were going and when we return, we hope that the stories we share as we live our lives for Jesus will encourage and strengthen the faith of those we connect with. The second theme that we see as we read through Paul's journey in Acts is the amount of connections that were made and the networking hubs of the early church. We encounter the names of many people that he and his companions encountered along the way, those that journeyed with them and those that were local believers and leaders. Outside of the book of Acts, we see within the letters that the early church was a network of connections. And the first image that came to my mind when I was thinking about this was a drawing that my young adults pastor, Ken Castor, made for me back when I was in my 20s and made for a young adult service. And the image you'll see behind me on the screen is a newer drawing, and it can be found in the Make a Difference Youth Bible. And it is specific to the church network that we read about in Romans, but Ken has put together similar mappings of the church networks that are in many of the New Testament letters. We can make a similar map for Acts that would show us the names of Paul, Barnabas, Silas, John Mark, Priscilla and Aquila, Apollos, and others as they journeyed and shared the good news. And some of those names are included in the Romans diagram that we see on the screen. An image like this brings all the names and their stories to life. And as it is noted in the Make a Difference Bible, there is a treasure to be found at the end of Romans. The 16th chapter proves the powerful arguments of the first 15 chapters are true. It is precisely because this letter is lived out in the real lives of real people embedded in the reality of a real geography during a hinge period of history that the grand theological teachings of Romans can be embraced as real. Following Jesus, in other words, is a real movement. The early churches were made up of people woven together into networks of Jesus followers. Following Jesus, in other words, is a real movement. The early churches were made up of people woven together in networks of Jesus followers. Similar to the early church, we here at Greenfield are part of a network of other believers, churches and associations that are part of a real movement. We've put together our own network map or hub that represents our past and current connections that have led us to consider Brazil as an area to pursue a sister church partnership. Through our association with the North American Baptist Conference and the Alberta Baptist Conference, as a church and as individuals, we have had connections with Chain of Love and Lindell since some of the beginning days of their ministries. Within our own city, we are not the only church that is connected to Lindell and Paolo and Chain of Love, and that adds another depth of relationship. As we consider what a more intentional partnership with Lindell and Paolo looks like, along with their church community, Niterói Baptist and Chain of Love, their networks become our networks. So we want to introduce you to some of those names and places by giving you a quick overview of our 8-day schedule. And it is going to be quick because we only have so much time this morning. So I will preface this by saying, if you want to know more, please invite some of our team members out for coffee, lunch, a walk. And I know that they would be very happy to share more stories of what we saw and did. So on the evening we arrived in Brazil, we were able to have dinner as a team with Lindell and Paolo, and then Brandon and Marcy Jones and their daughters. Brandon and Marcy are NAB colleagues to Lindell in Brazil. And as a fun additional connection, Marcy and Shay have also been in some seminary classes together. Friday, the team spent the day with Lindell and Paolo and toured through the city of Porto Alegre before being treated to an authentic Brazilian barbecue experience by a ministry colleague of Lindell's, whose name is Flavio, and his friend is a professional chef, and his name is Alex. It was such a joy to spend time with their families and one of their other ministry colleagues that night. On Saturday, the team connected with Eduardo and Jackie, where we had the opportunity to connect with the church that they are leading, as well as get a tour of the communities that surround them. Eduardo is a church planter that is connected to Lindell and Paolo. That afternoon, we joined with Niterói Baptist, where Paolo pastors, and helped with a children's event, which also gave us an opportunity to meet some of the other leaders of that church. The day was ended by participating in the weekly church service that is held at Chain of Love, where Shay was able to share a message with the kids. On Sunday, we spent the morning with Flavio's church and the evening was spent with the community that worships at Niterói, and Tyler talked a bit about that last week. Monday, we had the opportunity to connect with a few of Lindell's current seminary students at a partnership they have with the out-of-school care program. And in the afternoon, we joined Flavio in making a visit to a Guarani tribal group, and it was an honor for our team to be included in that. That evening, we had the opportunity to visit with more of the seminary students and get a tour of the seminary where Lindell and Brandon have been teaching. Tuesday, we started our day by joining the Chain of Love team in Novo Hamburgo for breakfast and had the opportunity to see the land that has been purchased for the homes the Chain of Love will be building there. We met the rest of the Chain of Love staff over lunch and then spent the afternoon in the city of Gramado, where Teach Beyond is based, and that is the organization that Paolo works with, and it is also where the children's camp will be in November that we raised money for. Wednesday, we spent the day with Chain of Love at their main site in Campobum. The afternoon was spent during various activities with the children and teens, and we ended our day by having dinner with three of the families. Thursday was our final day, and after six of the team left to do some traveling, four of us were able to meet with some of the leadership of Niterói Baptist, and then we were on our way home. They were long and full days, but we were greatly encouraged by meeting so many brothers and sisters that are following Jesus and loving the communities that he has sent them to. At this time, I would like to invite Murray, Kim, and Caitlin to join me, and they will be sharing three stories that stood out to us as a team as we thought about the main connections that we had, how they encouraged and strengthened us, and how we hope it encourages you as well.
There we go. Morning, everyone. My name is Murray. So many of us know Lindell Campbell as an NAB missionary to Brazil, and we also may know of some of her local connections to our congregation here at Greenfield and also to Taylor College and Seminary. And then through her, we've had the opportunity to connect with Paulo Requia, who is her husband, and a Brazilian pastor. On this trip, our team had the wonderful opportunity to get to know them better and to connect with the community of believers in the Porto Alegre area. So I'm going to be sharing just a few of our snippets from some of our experiences, specifically with Igreja Batista Niterói, which is the church where Paulo has been the pastor principal for 8.5 years. Tyler also got called that, pastor principal. So, Porto Alegre is a city of 1.4 million people in the southern Brazil state of Rio Grande do Sul, so it's comparable in size to Edmonton or Calgary, with the surrounding communities and towns and cities. So it was founded in 1769, so about 20 years before the Fort Edmonton was founded on the banks of the North Saskatchewan. Porto Alegre was similarly, had already been started as a settlement in the southern Brazil there. So we share a similar historical age. Igreja Batista Niterói was planted in the Niterói community outside of Porto Alegre back then. In 1971, it was just fields and maybe a few roads here and there. And the church has been in that community since then for 54 years and has grown to become part of this of the suburb, which is basically just all surrounding that whole area. It's all developed and built up, much like sort of southwest Edmonton is here. I wanted to share just three key ideas that really sort of came to mind as part of our time with Lindell and Paulo and their church ministry. One is the whole idea of being intentional. Paulo's church is very intentional about building networks of connection to the local community. They have two different businesses which use the church facility and run from the church facility are run by business people in the church. So they both provide employment to people in the church, but also serve as hubs or connecting places for people. One of them is a dance studio, and you probably see that picture up there. So they're prepping for a some kind of a dance recital kind of thing in a little bit. And so most of those kids who are part of the dance community also have now connections to a local church, and they're sort of building those connections with those children and their families. And another building, or another business, is a hair salon, which is run by two of the ladies in the church. And again, that's another business that is seen as a ministry to the community, to connect people and to build relationships there and to share the good news of Jesus with them. And that's not all. You know, Paolo has shared with us some one of his dreams to maybe open a coffee shop or a cafe, because, you know, coffee, everyone needs that, right? And Brazil's got good stuff. And pastries, you know, if you go to Brazil, you'll get to know how much they love their kuchen. And that would be a good thing. But that would be a great opportunity for them to just build more points of connection with their local community. So we'll see, who knows what the future holds. Second key idea that I wanted to share is just their heart for church planting. So the Niterói Church is constantly looking for opportunities to plant churches, sometimes as a direct initiative from their church, and other times, you know, they are adopting church plants that are already going, or people that God has already called to church to plant a church, and partnering with them. And so our team had the opportunity to do some kids ministry with the Igreja Baptista Vaz church plant. And you can see a picture of us there. As that's a church plant that is supported by Paolo's church, the Niterói Church. And we also took a tour of the local area. So the local area where this Vaz church plant is was hit hard by some severe flooding back in November, December last year. And it was literally extreme flooding. You can see all through the community, the water mark is about the 2-meter level, and everything below that was completely submerged. And so the church communities within the Porto Alegre area and further afield in Brazil have had the opportunity to minister to their communities through that rather traumatic event. Niterói Church is also already looking for and praying for the next church planting partnership that they can take part in and build a connection and relationship with. And the third thing I wanted to sort of highlight is just the overall feeling of an apostolic style equipping ministry. Others will be sharing more about the seminary a little later, but this sort of struck me as the kind of thing that we see in the early church. So we have Lindell, who is a theological educator and teacher. She taught here at Taylor and is now in Brazil teaching and equipping leaders down there. She's also the field director for the NAB mission fields in southern Brazil, teaches at the seminary, and has a strong network of communities or of relationships with other pastors, church leaders, missionaries, and the local church within Brazil. So it's pretty amazing. There's also a mountain town. We think we saw a picture. Oh, there we go. It's up there. Of a camp in the town of Gramado. And this is another seminary-type connection. This one is affiliated with Teach Beyond, which used to be known as the Jan's Team Ministry, which was founded in Winnipeg, 50-plus years ago. And so this is yet another point of connection to build and develop leaders and to serve as an equipping hub for the church in Brazil. And so to me, that just kind of feels a lot like what we see happening in the early church, in the stories that we read about in the book of Acts. And it's fascinating, and it's really was a privilege to sort of get a glimpse of what God is doing there. But the other thing I should mention is, it's not like, you know, sort of, hey, you know, look, isn't this great? We, you know, sort of North Americans went over there, and this is what all the great North Americans are doing in Brazil. No, God has already called and developed and built up people, a network of people in Brazil. The church in Brazil is strong and passionate, and we're just sort of coming alongside them to equip them and to help them to do even more. And so that is a great privilege, and maybe something that will be part of our future church partnership if that goes ahead. Thanks.
Following the tallest guy on the team. Before we left, part of our plans included an opportunity for us to be in a public school in Porto Alegre, which was through one of Lindell's connections. And Alicia, Jake, and Caitlin had planned our time there. However, as they do in Brazil, the plans evolved. And on Monday morning, we found ourselves outside of a school, but about to make our presentation to an out-of-school care group instead. Brazilian students make the most of their school space by having three opportunities to attend school. You can go in the morning from 7 till noon, you can go in the afternoon from noon till about 5, or as an older student, you go in the evening after having worked or participated in your family's chores and things during the day. This works for families who have extended family or connections with their neighborhoods to provide care for students in the alternative times when their parents are both working. But what happens to the students who don't have that? Well, like here, there is out-of-school care provided in some cases. In this case, this is an out-of-school care that works in the morning shift for four classrooms of children. Two meals are provided, as well as extra literacy work, time to work on assignments, and other projects and recreational activities. They were doing a creation unit, one of the ways that they can weave faith themes in, and they were growing beans in paper towels and plastic cups, just like all of us have at one point or another. Jake and Caitlin were our teachers, and the classroom teachers interpreted into Portuguese. They showed maps of where our two countries are, talked about local sports, we passed around a hockey puck, and we talked about animals from each country. And after the presentation, which we did in three classrooms, the rest of the team made paper bag Canadian beavers, so little puppets, with each student, and then the fourth group did outdoor games. The kids were really, really engaged and seemed to enjoy practicing their English with us. Many little ones just kept popping out of doors and saying, hello! These students come from many circumstances, but a number of them are immigrants who don't have family nearby or established communities to care for children while parents are working. And this is where my story intersects in a small way. As a single parent, daycare and after-school care would have been incredibly difficult financially. My parents moved to Edmonton to provide that for my family. So I understand the value of safe, nurturing space while providing a learning and fun environment while I'm at work. Many of you know that my daughter is from Haiti, and in these classrooms, there were some students whose families had emigrated from Haiti. How I wish I could have spoken Creole to them. It wasn't until later in the day that I truly connected that the teachers at this out-of-school care were actually the seminary students that we were meeting with that evening. Lindell and Brandon, who you were kind of introduced to before, both teach at this denominational seminary, and they were so excited to take us to the seminary so we could share a meal, get a tour, and spend some time visiting. We purchased a bunch of snacks and the ever-popular kuchen. We ate a lot of cake. And we took it over to their common area and we ate together. The students from this seminary attend classes in the evenings and on weekends while having jobs during the day. Some of the students are the teachers at the out-of-school care, which is a denominational ministry project. They travel long distances to study and are devoted to Jesus, to serving him and the church, and they were absolutely delighted to show us their common living areas, classrooms, offices, and even their dorm rooms. I'm guessing that those rooms got a real good tidying because they didn't look like any NAB dorm room that I've ever seen. They showed us everything. Storage rooms, the empty yet most filled guest rooms, the conference room, and even their library where some of us were able to buy some school swag. We ended the evening with a group photo. There's Lindell in the corner. Lindell teaches leadership, pastoral ministry, theology, and English as a second language, along with Brandon. Many of the students did very well at interpreting our English and translating the Portuguese back to us. One student even shared that the dramatic poetry performance they had done as a class assignment for English as a second language had worked in her out-of-school classroom in Portuguese. These students love Lindell. She knows each of them, loves on them, and makes a point to invest in their lives beyond the typical student-teacher expectation. And this bears fruit in so many of the relationships we saw. Eduardo and Flavio were Lindell's former students who welcomed us to participate in their churches, in their ministries, and in the relationships they are developing in their own spheres of influence. I look at the opportunities to partner with this out-of-school project. What could we help with? How could Greenfield teachers, camp counselors, and administrators assist? Could we fund the afternoon class? Right now, it's just in the morning. Could we work in tandem with the seminary students and assist there? What about sending professors and resources to the seminary itself? Or bringing students to Edmonton to learn at Taylor or under Tyler's teaching? I'm excited to discern with our team and our leadership where God might be directing our networks to connect.
Hi, I'm Caitlin, another member of the Greenfield team that went to Brazil. On our trip, we also got to spend time and actually stay at an organization called Chain of Love, which our church supports. If you're not familiar with Chain of Love, it's an organization that works in Brazil and takes children in who are without parents or taken from their families for serious concerns of abuse or neglect. These children then come to Chain of Love and are placed in a house family with a house father and house mother. Here they are taken care of, loved, and hear about the love of Christ for them. They can live at Chain of Love for the rest of their childhood, but many of them are actually placed back with another family member or adopted. It was a privilege for us to meet them at Chain of Love and to hear about their deep love for God and for the children he brings into their care. While staying at Chain of Love, we experienced so much biblical hospitality from the staff and families. They provided us with a beautiful home to stay on their campus, as well as going above and beyond by making delicious meals for us and ensuring that we felt so welcome. It was incredibly encouraging to come to Brazil to support them and to end up feeling so well loved and cared for in return. It was truly a gift to see a group of people with such a love for others and be encouraged that we can support them as a church. During our time there, we were able to meet some of the house parents and got to go in their homes for dinner the one night. On entering these homes, we were welcomed in by parents and all of their very busy children. In the house that I visited, there were 13 kids. Three of them were their genetic children, and then 10 of them were Chain of Love children, ranging from 2 to 15, which sounds absolutely terrifying to parent, if you ask me. We got to sit and talk with the parents, and they shared with us how they were called into the Chain of Love ministry and the ups and downs of their time there. They shared us with honesty how difficult it can be not only to meet the physical needs of each of these children, but also to speak into their lives on a deeper level and point them to who Jesus is and how he wants to bring restoration and hope into their lives. They told us that at one point there had been a time where they had thought of leaving Chain of Love, as it was so emotionally difficult to take on the stories of each of the children that were brought into their home. But even through this, they were able to share with us that how, in that period of struggle, God had provided them with the strength to keep moving forward in the purpose he had given them at Chain of Love. Through our interactions with the house parents, many of us were able to more deeply understand how truly reliant these parents are on for God and for daily strength as they care for so many children, each with different stories, deep pains, and hopes for the future. One other person that really had an impact on me was the executive director of Chain of Love, whose name is Telmo. There's a picture of him back there. He has been with Chain of Love for approximately 20 years and in the role of executive director for about the last 13 or so years. He was previously a police officer for many years, and through that work he saw a lot of the suffering that a lot of these kids endured before they were brought to Chain of Love. He spoke of God's leading and allowing him to see the painful experiences that some of these children went through so that he might better understand their struggles and meet them with God's love. His complete reliance on God to do the ministry he had been called to profoundly stood out to many of us. While we were there, he shared that they are currently renting 4 extra houses outside of their campus to accommodate the many children that are sent their way. The fees for renting these houses have become quite significant, and they have wanted to expand and build more houses so they can continue to take care of these children. They were praying for God to provide land for them to build, and were looking in all sorts of different towns, cities, all around with no luck. Telmo shared with us he knew God was leading them to build these homes, and he called on God to provide for them. Just shortly before we arrived in Brazil, God actually answered that prayer in providing the perfect amount of land for them to build 3 of the 4 needed homes, and it was just across the hill from their current campus. It was as close as it could get. But they still needed land for 1 more home. So Telmo and the Chain of Love team again went to prayer, praying specifically and intentionally for enough land to build 1 more home. Meanwhile, God was at work in the heart of one of the neighbors by the newly purchased property. The neighbor found out that Chain of Love had bought the properties next to him, and so he reached out to Telmo, asking if he could sell Telmo his property for a way cheaper price, to, just to support what Chain of Love is doing in Brazil, just because he was encouraged by what they were doing in his neighborhood. It could not have been more perfect. They just purchased enough land to build the new homes. Telmo actually brought us to that property, and we were able to pray with him over the land and the lives that would be impacted by their ministry. It was so powerful. Together, we circled around and prayed over the property, and Telmo actually picked up some of the dirt and poured it onto the ground as he prayed for each child that would one day live there. It was truly profound to see someone like Telmo who relies on God through prayer in such a deep and powerful way. All of the people at Chain of Love truly taught me that prayer is not just an option. It's an absolute necessity in the Christian walk. What a privilege we all have as Greenfield Community Church to come alongside Chain of Love, be encouraged by them, support and strengthen them as they meet both physical and spiritual needs of those children in Brazil. As I mentioned previously, we are already supporting this ministry financially as a church, but I wanted to come and share this story so that we can also truly come alongside the Chain of Love team in prayer for their house parents as they navigate the complex needs of their children with grace, love, and truth. For the Chain of Love staff, as they rely on God and use the resources they have to share the love of Christ with these children. And for this new project, that not only the building process would go smoothly, but that those that live there in the future would experience true connection, love, and hope in Christ.
Thank you for sharing and giving again just a snippet of our time. I have printed off Lindell and Paolo's and Chain of Love most recent newsletters. So they are on the Welcome Center if you want to read more. And again, please chat with us if you want to know more, because these stories represent not just our new and deepening connections with these churches and organizations in Brazil, but also the network hub of people and church communities that are connected to each of the people that you heard Kim, Murray, and Caitlin talk about. And now our stories here are more connected to theirs. As we carry on in the tradition of the early church, encouraging and strengthening other believers as we connect in various hub networks, we continue in this work of partnership that we see modeled for us in the stories of the early church. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, reminds us that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, both those that have gone before and also those that we get to do life with now. I have talked before about how we as individuals are not designed to do life on our own, but we are designed to do life in community. And I would say the same goes for our churches. We are not meant to do this on our own, just as Greenfield Community Church. We need to be in relationship and partnership with other communities that are pursuing Jesus. And this is one of the reasons why we are looking at pursuing a sister church partnership, because it combines our network with another's. It gives us opportunity to both learn together and learn from each other. We can share stories about how God is at work in our lives and in our communities so that we can be strengthened in our faith and then go out to be a light of hope to those around us, whether that is in our families, our friendships, our workplaces, neighborhoods, places we volunteer, and the list could go on. Corrine will be coming up at the end of the service to share some of our next steps around our church partnership. But before we do that, we wanted to take this idea of a hub network and bring it down to even more of a personal level. Within our bigger church networks, we all also have our own personal networks. Those smaller networks encourage and equip us so that we, as a broader church community, can engage in the broader networks that we are a part of. So we would invite you to consider what it would look like if you were to write out your own hub diagram for your life. Who are the people and the communities that you are connected to that you would include? If you were writing out a list similar to the one in Romans chapter 16, who would be your Phoebe that you would commend to other believers? Who would be your Priscilla and Aquila, your Uranus, who have been co-workers for Christ? Who are those who have journeyed with you, encouraged you, graciously challenged you, reminded you of your worth, and spoken truth into your life that so you can pursue Jesus more fully? My hub map would include Greenfield and past churches that provided me space to navigate life. They gave me opportunities to use my gifts, and they saw potential in me that often I couldn't see at the time. It would include people that I met through my studies at Sioux Falls Seminary, through the NAB and the ABA, along with those organizations themselves. It would include people in multiple cities, provinces, and countries. Some people I'm in contact with regularly, others were only in my life for a season, and still others who have passed away, but their influence was transformative. I am incredibly thankful for the cloud of witnesses that surrounds me through all the ups and downs and everything in between as we've navigated life together in the messiness and the beauty of community. So I would encourage you to take time today or sometime this week, but don't let it linger too long, to think about who, what, or where may be part of your network map. And then, after you've drawn it out, reflect on these two questions. How does this network of people encourage me in how I live out my faith in the world? How does it inspire me to be part of God's mission? And secondly, is there someone on your map that you can encourage in return this week and make a plan to do it? As I am encouraged and strengthened and challenged within my own network, I am equipped to do the same with others. And as we do that together, our community is equipped to do the same with other communities, and the impact goes out from there. Please join with me now as I pray before we sing our final song. Father, I thank you for the stories that we have recorded for us of the life of the early church. I thank you that they are honest about the difficulties, but they also show the importance of working through things together. We are thankful for the network of believers that we are part of through church history and within our current place and time. Thank you for the way that those networks encourage and equip us. We also thank you for the way our network here at Greenfield is connecting with various networks of believers in Brazil. We thank you that, as we've mentioned this morning, you are present and you are at work. We continue to pray for guidance as we develop a deeper partnership, and we pray that we may encourage and strengthen one another as we journey together in your name. Amen.